Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for the continuation of the Entrepreneur Spotlight on There Is Life After Layoff radio show with my special guest co-host, Sean Thomas. Do you or someone that you know have a child or children with special needs? Are you interested in learning how to become an empowered parent? Do you want to learn how to create a culture of realness and acceptance through community outreach? If you answered yes and you are ready to also learn how to create a village or a community of learning, then you are in the right place this evening, so please stay tuned. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember that I'm not here to point the fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. Along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. The goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And once again, I say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know, this show works because of you, our faithful listeners. You help to drive the show, and that is why we always want to hear from you. So with that said, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation by making a positive comment, or if you want to ask our guest a question, I invite you to call in. Our call-in number is 347-324-5246, and then press the number 1. But please remember that you only have to press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And we will begin taking your calls right after our break at around 7:30, and we certainly do look forward to hearing from you. So now we're ready. Once again, I'm excited because tonight, as I mentioned, is the continuation of our Entrepreneur Spotlight series, and our featured Spotlight business owner definitely has a testimony that will pull on your heartstrings. Tonight's subject matter is very important for so many reasons and is an issue that definitely impacts lots of families worldwide. So if you're ready, let's jump right in. So for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, this series was created because I had the fortunate opportunity of being introduced to and connecting with the founder of the Entrepreneur Women's Networking Group, Ms. Shawn Thomas. She was a guest on the show back in March, and after I joined the group, I was so inspired, and I wanted to create a series, of course, with Shawn's approval, that features women business owners from the group and who are also women of purpose. So with that said, it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Ms. Shawn Thomas, the founder of the Entrepreneur Women's Networking Group, to help us to continue to shine the Entrepreneur Spotlight tonight. Thank you for joining me again tonight, Shawn.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We appreciate you, Allie.
Thank you so much. So, you know what, Shawn, let's get started. And why don't you do the honors of sharing with our listeners first the mission behind the Entrepreneur Networking Group and then talk about the purpose of the Spotlight series that we are hosting. And then we'll go ahead and welcome our featured business owner to the show.
Sure. Now, let me just say that Entrepreneur was actually started and it exists to empower women to not give up on their dreams of entrepreneurship. We wear so many hats, and so I wanted to create a community of sisterhood where we encourage each other to create businesses that we love, to connect with other like-minded ladies in business, and also collaborate to make sure that our dreams go further faster. So that's what the nature and the spirit of Entrepreneur Her is all about. We're an online community, and we also are hosting local events here in the Atlanta area. But it really is all about sisterhood, about entrepreneurship, and basically staying in the game of entrepreneurship by any means necessary. And
right.
this particular spotlight was because I wanted to have a way to highlight those ladies who I see that are just being the epitome of what the mission and the vision of the movement stands for. Mm. And I see my ladies out here working and they're running. I wanted to have a platform. I'm so grateful to be partnering with you to be able to help me fulfill that dream of highlighting those ladies who are really epitomizing everything that I stand for and what I believe in with women in business.
Wow, absolutely, and it is my honor that, you know, you have come on board and just really been a blessing to so many women of purpose. So thank you for that. So why don't you take a moment to introduce and welcome our Entrepreneur Her Spotlight Series guest this evening?
I sure will. Well, I wanted to introduce to you guys our very own Yaharia Lopez. And she is the founder and the mompreneur of Autism Sprinter. And what I am just enamored with her just passion for making sure that parents have the resources, the tenacity, know their rights around making sure that their parents get served in this system that serves the masses and that no child gets left behind. She came into our particular community asking questions, up-leveling, really just trying to find out how she can make sure that her voice is heard further, faster, and she got what she needed, and she just took off running. She has a passion for making sure that parents know exactly what their rights are, exactly how to help their children who might be in the classified in the autism spectrum, but also just to know that they're just regular kids, and no matter what people say, these are our babies, so they deserve to be fought for. So without further ado, Ms. Yaharia Lopez.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, ladies. I love this.
Absolutely. It is our pleasure. Believe me, after I was introduced to you by Sean and you and I connected, my mouth was open when you were sharing your story with me. It's just so intriguing and so powerful. So it is definitely our pleasure to have you on here. And, of course, it is a subject that is near and dear to both Sean and I's hearts because we're parents. And, you know, we go to bat for our children. So what you're doing is so needed, especially, you know, with the fact that you have children with special needs who really need somebody to stand in the gap for them. So thank you for that commitment, mm-hmm. and thank you for being here this evening to share your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored. I'm definitely honored.
Yeah, so, you know, before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of what you're all about and what you stand for and your purpose, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself? Help us get to know who you are.
So I'm Jahida Lopez, the founder of Autism Sprinter Incorporated. I'm a mom of twins, twin boys. And about me, I am a very open person. I love to support families like myself and encourage positivity and understanding about the importance of family and how to fight for your family.
Right.
And so my life evolves around advocacy. I consider myself a community activist. I spend a lot of time in a community addressing topics that, you know, hurt our communities. And I'm just a mom. So I'm a mama bear. I'm always, like, I feel like I'm always fighting and advocating for the needs of the people.
Right,
right. So that's pretty much what Jahida's all about.
Okay, okay. That's awesome. You know, and I, when you and I spoke, I kind of shared with you a little bit about my journey, where it all began with There Is Life After Layoff, and which everyone who has tuned in on a regular basis knows that, you know, I was unexpectedly laid off from my corporate job, and how in the midst of all of that, what I call my storm, I chose peace, which then led to my being inspired to share my journey with others. So with that said, I always want to connect my guests to my journey. So I wanted to ask you, have you or anyone that you know been affected or impacted by the effect of a layoff, whether it be forced or self-imposed? And if so, please explain.
So when we talked, you know, we had this amazing conversation, and we share so many similar stories.
Right.
So my story was, I worked in the system for, you know, 7 years. And all of a sudden, you know, my kids were diagnosed with this label. And I'm struggling. So I'm working full time. I have kids with special needs. So, you know, I have tons of appointments that I have to meet, a lot of service providers that I have to deal with. I have to deal with the school system in terms of making sure that my kids are getting, you know, their accommodations and their proper schooling. And not to mention that they were born prematurely. So, you know, we have a lot of asthma. So, you know, we deal with a lot of health things on top of that. And it got to a point that I was basically how I feel. And maybe, you know, to my employer it might be different. But how I felt like I was put in a predicament where I had to choose my employment over my kids. And as you and I talked, I remember the day that I just sat down in front of my supervisor. And the words that came out of this person's mouth was, you know, as of this moment, I'm not going to be able to allow to, you know, leave early, or if there's an emergency, you need to find alternative accommodation. And I'm like, in my face, I'm like,
are you kidding?
You know how when you get so angry? Yeah, you get angry. And I just started crying because I'm like, you're basically telling me in a supervisory way, it's either my kids or my employment.
Wow.
Well,
that's
we
crazy.
All know that we need a job, right, to pay bills, right?
Right.
I'm like, okay, then. Option one, I can kind of just, like, go off. But no, you're not going to do that. And two, you're like, you just start crying because you're just like, okay, on top of all of this, I have all this other stuff, personal stuff going on in my home. I don't feel like you've ever sat down and talked to me about the personal things that are affecting the reason why I'm not here, right? That day, I left. I came home, and I obviously vented to the hubby. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
And it
came to a point that I said, you know what? I have a child with special needs. At that moment, my son with autism was barely verbal. And I'm sending him to school, and he's getting all this help, and I still feel like he wasn't making any progress. So, yeah, so one day I woke up, and I wasn't feeling too great. It happened to be the day that I would have to call out, and I'm like, okay, I know that my supervisor is going to give me a hard time. And out of nowhere, it was just like, I felt like God spoke to me. God was like, listen, you're struggling with your family.
Yeah.
Your son needs you. And at that moment, I just gave him a 2-week notice, and I said, you know what, I'm sorry, but I have to focus on my family. I need to get my son where he needs to be. And so I basically made that choice. And to be honest with you, never really looked back at it. And I actually, a lot of stuff just, it just, so much weight off my shoulders that moment. But yes, I just felt like I was forced to pick, to choose between my family and my employment.
Job, right. And that's so funny. Like you said, your story and my story, are, although they're different circumstances, it's very similar because in the moment that I was getting the bomb dropped on me or the axe dropped on me or whatever you want to describe it as, you know, God spoke to me, and I had an immediate peace. And I guess, you know, the people who were there kind of sharing that news with me didn't expect my reaction because I was calm. I didn't cry. I didn't shed a tear. I was like, just let me find the phone. Let me call my husband. I'm good. And they were looking like, what? They didn't expect that. But you know what? When God speaks to you, you trust that.
Exactly.
You trust that, you know, that he's in control and he's going to take care of you. He told me he would provide for me, and I believe that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
he's still providing to this day. And I, like you said, I haven't looked back either.
mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
know?
It was a really good decision, and mentally and physically and spiritually, I felt like that's something that I needed to do.
Right,
and then
exactly.
it just made it easier. You know, over time, you know, you have the little waves, they're up and down. But
mm-hmm.
overall, I was, like you said, I was at peace, and I was
mm-hmm.
so okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is kind of where everything else just started for me.
Right.
It was like a new life for me. Like I was able to breathe and fresh air, you know.
That's
and
good.
It was just great. It was a great feeling. It was such
wow.
a great feeling to know that I could have made that decision, and especially my hubby backing me up and saying, okay,
mm-hmm.
well, what our son needs us. You need to handle your business. Do what you got to do. Let's make this happen.
Absolutely. That's always good. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that was that one defining moment when you knew that God had purposed you for something else?
Yes, I think so. I really, truly believe so. Because before that, I felt like I was always doing for others and not really finding myself in the mix of being a mom, working,
mm-hmm.
and my friendships, and, you know, being a sister, being a daughter, being an aunt. And it was like, okay, where is Jahida in the middle of all of this? And
mm-hmm.
I felt lost. And I kind of felt like not only did I have a purpose to start in terms of supporting my son, but also a way to find who I really was as an individual.
Mm-hmm,
you know, so
mm-hmm,
it was an amazing feeling. And
wow.
I think that I found myself in places that I never even knew existed in me.
Wow. That's true for me, too, because since being on this journey, God has opened up so many doors and windows of opportunities. I've met so many awesome people that I would not have met otherwise. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's allowed me to connect with so many beautiful people. And I always know it's a God connection because of how we meet or how I was led to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's nothing but God's hand on all of this,
mm-hmm.
you know. So then that tells me that I'm heading in the right direction, you know. So,
that's
you
true.
Know, while you, you know, during that time, you had a realization that you kind of had to shift your priorities as a mother
mm-hmm.
Of children with special needs. You know, you knew that
mm-hmm.
your children needed you. But in that time, though, in that shift, you also realized the importance of taking care of yourself. So
yes.
why would you
yes.
say, why is it so important for moms especially to take care of themselves and to practice self-care?
You have to. And that was another reason why I was so okay with the decision that I made, right? Because
mm-hmm.
health-wise, I was, and not to, it's not too much information, but in the stresses of all this, mentally, physically, health-wise, I wasn't taking care of myself.
Mm.
You know, so there'll be times that I'm taking a shower, and all of a sudden, I'll just start bawling. In a shower.
Mm.
So no one can listen. The hubby wouldn't know that I'm having my little meltdown at the moment. You know,
mm-hmm.
the kids wouldn't see mommy down. You know, always got to keep the peace. And I just didn't realize that health-wise, I wasn't taking care of myself.
Mm.
And I had to kind of sit back and say, okay, I'm taking care of everyone, everything around me, and trying to hold all this together, but at the same time,
yeah.
didn't realize that, you know, I went months without, you know, my menstrual cycle. And, you know, and this is real. And this is real
wow.
to me. And I'm okay with speaking about it because I went months and didn't even realize that.
Mm.
And so I was like, wait a minute. What is going on here?
Right.
And, you know, I was going back and forth to the doctors and all this. And they're like, honey, it's just stress.
It's stress.
It's stress.
Yeah. Wow.
And I just did not know that it was that bad.
Wow.
It was that bad. And finally, after I made this decision,
mm-hmm.
it was just like everything just started falling into place.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just, it was just like a light to me. It was like, okay, So you have all this going on, but yet at the same time, you want to make sure you take care of yourself, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be good to your family.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what? Early on in my journey, and I'm still dealing with it, I think it's a daily thing that we go through as moms. There was a point where, you know, even when I was working, where if I took time for myself, I felt guilty about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I had to be this super mom. I had to do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
When I was actually doing things for people that they could do for themselves, but I felt like I
mm-hmm.
could do it better type of thing. You know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
stupid mentality.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think
exactly.
women in general, moms especially, really think that they have to have things done perfect. And
mm-hmm.
I had to realize, okay, you know what, if my kids, or I ask my kids to do something, maybe they might not learn how to, they don't know how to do it perfectly or the
mm-hmm.
way that I would do it, but they're learning. So this
mm-hmm.
is a learning, a teachable moment for you as a mom
mm-hmm.
instead of a criticizing
yeah.
moment or a moment where you think that you have to take control of the situation. Meanwhile,
but it's
you're falling
real.
Apart.
It's, exactly. And that's the realness about it, is that I was so busy, but inside I was falling apart
mm-hmm.
in every
mm-hmm.
aspect of my being.
Mm.
So when I tell people, and I know some people will be like, oh, that's too much information. No, that's real. That's
yeah.
the real life of women who work hard, who sometimes don't even have time for their own family because they're working 40, 50,
mm.
60 hours a week. You know, now they
yeah.
got to come home. They got to cook. They got to clean. You know, they got to make sure that the kids got, you know, clothes to wear for the rest of the week for school. And, you
right.
know, all this, it's real. It was real. And it was
very
such
real.
A moment. Yes, and it was a moment that I really had to sit back and really analyze my role.
Mm.
And understanding, no, Jahida, you gotta pipe it down. Slow down a little bit. Slow down.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You know, bills are gonna get paid. You know, with a lot of prayer, you know, God got our back. We ain't gonna be homeless. We're gonna make it happen. You know,
exactly.
If there's a will, there's always a way. And I think that when I also started believing deeper in my faith and understanding of the higher power, that also made it even incredibly okay. To understand
mm-hmm.
and say, Jahida, it's going to be okay. It's
mm-hmm.
all going to work itself out. You know, just make sure that you always pray. And
exactly.
What you're doing, you do right and you live right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's in control. We just got to let him
mm-hmm.
do it and stop trying to take it on and put it on our own plates.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
mm-hmm.
But, you know, we talked briefly about the fact that you're a mom with a mother of twins with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So share
mm-hmm.
with us a little bit about your journey and some of the challenges that you have faced in being able to provide for your son's specific needs.
So with all that being said, so I don't, you know, mommy's breaking down and we're having problems at work. I'm realizing that I'm trusting other people to so-called fix my child, right?
Mm.
So I have these people who are telling me, you know, there might be a possibility, he may not talk, there might be possibilities. And so I'm hearing all these things. And I'm like, okay, you know, so I'm like, all right, so, you know, kind of like in my head, I'm like, okay, you know, and not realizing that I wasn't really giving the situation and understanding my son's diagnosis. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't understand the diagnosis. I got this diagnosis and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm dealing with school system, now I'm dealing with service providers, and I have all these people that are telling me different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I sat back one day and I said, okay, so they're telling me all these things about my son, but what I see at home is totally different.
Mm.
And then in the midst of all this, I'm like, okay, I got to find a way to teach my son totally different.
Right.
At that moment, I had both of my sons were diagnosed with autism, and gradually one of them made so much progress that, you know, we went from autism to communication processing. Now we're at ADHD, and I just take all that stuff with a grain of salt now, you know? So we have one son on the spectrum, and my other one is ADHD.
Okay.
So I had to learn what these diagnoses were and
right.
fully understand how to teach my children differently.
Okay.
My biggest goal was my son with autism because he wasn't talking. You know, we were still in diapers at five, and we were going through the emotions. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? How can
right.
I get him out of the diapers? He's not talking. You know, we're kind of going through this banging up the head situation, a lot of crying, and I don't understand him. And I felt that as soon as I understood my son and found my own accommodations to teach my son, that's when I kind of had this, like, rude awakening where I was like, you know what? I'm going to break one of my rooms down in my house, and I'm going to turn it into a classroom. And every day I'm going to start doing things with my son to teach him. And that's how it happened. One day I was like, okay, you know what? Education's my thing. I've worked in the school system for some while. In a while, I understand this. Let me look this stuff up.
Right.
And I literally broke one of my bedrooms down and turned it into a full-blown classroom.
Wow.
So every day, I did all these amazing projects with my son.
Oh, wow.
And then I would share them on Facebook. And then one of my friends was like, oh, man, this is awesome. Like, I like how you're working with your son. And I just shared it. I was like, you know what? I have to be public about my stuff. I gotta get all this off my chest because I'm not understanding. I was not understanding the diagnosis. So once I understood it and understood my son, specifically my son and how he learned, it was just like, okay, he's a hands-on learner. He likes to get messy. He likes to, you know, he likes to eat paper. Let me find a way for him not to eat the paper and work with the paper, right?
Right.
You know, we started doing all these amazing projects, and it was just amazing how he just transformed in a period of time. And how he blossomed because he needed me more than anybody, you know, the school system, the people that were giving him these services for speech, the people that were giving him the services for, you know, behavior stuff, you know, the people that were giving him services for OT, for occupational therapy. He needed me. He needed my time and my patience to work with him at his pace. And so, It was all about learning him. That's amazing to me
because at one point in time I was pursuing a master's degree in education, and one of the things that I learned during that time was that every child learns differently, and what sometimes the problem in some of the school systems is that they don't take the time to find out or pay attention to the different learning styles of each individual student. So the students who learn differently from the majority suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me as a parent, I paid attention to how my children learn best, and I discovered that there was a point in time when my daughter, you know, when she was young, before my son came along, she couldn't remember her address when she was really young. And so I noticed that she liked music. So I decided to turn her address into a song, and when I tell you she picked it up like that, and there was a light bulb moment for me. I was like, that's it. That's how I'm going to get through to her, and that's how I'm going to help her study or learn things, because I'm meeting her I'm accommodating her needs. So that's so fascinating to me. And parents, you know, they really need to pay attention to that. That is so important what you just said. Accommodate your child's needs. You know, because
so
every child is different.
Yeah, and that's, I think, when I learned that I had the power, and this is what I tell a lot of parents who I meet who, you know, are introduced to me by a friend or someone who's participating in my organizational events and stuff. I always tell the parents, you're the parent. You have the power. Don't let anyone tell you about your child. You brought
your
child into this world. No one knows your child more than you. They can sit at a 45-minute visit with your child and still don't know your child.
Exactly right.
If 45 minutes ain't telling you ain't telling me nothing about my son in 45 minutes. Spend a whole 24 hours and you will bring him back home. It is what it is. I'm okay with that, you know? But it's understanding the parents have the power to advocate for their child's needs.
Exactly
and yes, in the school system, it's a lot of issues. You know, we don't know how that goes. But I think it's parents have to be more involved. The school system needs to hear our involvement. You know, and sometimes we have to advocate for our teachers. A lot of our teachers are overworked, underpaid.
Yes.
You know, they go there, they don't get paid for overtime. you know, they have like this $500 minimum, at least here in Massachusetts, you know, that they, and we all know teachers spend more than $500 a school year to buy supplies for their classrooms and things
right.
like that. So
right.
it's just, it's a lot of stuff and the lack of investment in the educational system. You know, that's a whole other issue
right.
that I have a problem with, but it's, you know, it's about building a village.
Exactly.
To speak up. And if sometimes you have to advocate for your child, and that means that you have to speak up for a teacher who's scared to speak up because they don't want to lose their job, then you got to do what you got to do, because that person spends as much time with your child as you do. You know,
exactly.
So they're kind of like that parent in that classroom. So
exactly.
Always got to make sure you check in with them and hear them out and build that relationship.
Exactly.
But let them know that I'm here to support my son, but how can I help you to support my children? How
exactly.
can we work together as a team to support his or her needs?
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. So you know what? This is fascinating. At this time, though, we're going to wind down and we're going to pause and take a short station break, and when we return, we're going to continue with this great conversation, okay? So you just hang in there with me for a minute, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined by my special guest co-host, Sean Thomas, and we are shining the entrepreneur spotlight on Yahida Lopez, certified mom and founder of Autism Sprinter Incorporated. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too.
Hi, this is Executive Producer Mel D, and we thank you for tuning into today's show. Today's show would not be made possible without the support of our loyal sponsors. If you own a business, offer a service, or are a fan of the show, become a sponsor. Please go to our website at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com to the Advertise With Us page to view and download our new advertising kit. We offer new and affordable opportunities for you to become a part of our shows. And now we return back to our program.
All right, we are back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.TheirIsLifeAfterLayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. So now we're going to continue shining the entrepreneur spotlight tonight on our entrepreneur spotlight business owner, Yahida Lopez. And before the break, we were having a fascinating conversation and about, you know, advocating for your children and, you know, parents who have the power to fight for their children and speak up for their children, and not only their children, but their teachers as well. And so in all of that, you made a decision. When you made a decision to lay yourself off, you mentioned that you started sharing things online and what have you and on Facebook. And so you created a blog, which is now also a nonprofit organization. So share with us about Autism Sprinter and what that's all about.
So how it all began was, when I basically laid myself off and started to, you know, focus on my family, I, you know, started learning again what these diagnoses were and finding ways to teach my kids through a lot of arts and crafts and getting messy and letting them be kids, right? So I shared prior to, you know, me sharing the do-it-yourself, you know, learning homeschooling tools that I did, I was always venting about, oh, man, like this, today we had X, Y, and Z amount of meltdowns. We're waking up at 5:30 in the morning and, you know, sharing a lot. And then one of my friends, Jonathan, was like, Jahida, you should start a blog. And I'm like, I don't even know, like, I wouldn't even know where to start. And
right.
so around that time, I was like, you know what? I should, you know, because I do a lot of things that I don't share pictures and videos that I do with the kids, you know, with a lot of the arts and crafts stuff that I like to do with my kids. And so I started posting a lot of the videos of the arts and crafts stuff that I was doing with the kids and teaching, you know, people how to help teach their child to write their name using shaving cream. How to color sort with Orbeez, you know, with those little water beads that a lot of kids use for other purposes. And color matching and things like that, and how to teach math using simple home games that you can do. And so I started sharing a lot of that. And so it went from, I'm going to start a blog and I'm going to share this. And then it just slowly but surely, a lot of people were interested. And they were like, oh, man, show us more. And so it just went from starting a blog to then all of a sudden becoming a nonprofit organization where now, you know, I share these empowerment tools and these things that I learned on my own to make sure that parents don't get lost behind the label. Because it's just a label. At the end of the day, it's just a label. That label does not define your child, because at the end of the day, you're going to love your child unconditionally, with or without diagnosis. And so I think that me coming in and not sticking this label on my child and saying my child can't do this and my child can't do that because of this, I was like, no, my child's going to be able to do what any other kids are doing. And I want my child to be exposed, whether that means that I'm going to be sitting at a grocery store, which I've had, and sat down in an aisle and cried, gone out to eat and I've had to leave and go sit in my car and cry because we couldn't take too much, you know, too many people, sensory overload, we're crying. He's crying, I'm crying, I'm like, okay, we're done. You know, we're being the first one, you know, we're being the first one at the park at like 8 o'clock in the morning because we've already been up since like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? So once I started publicly sharing more, you know, I found that a lot of parents like me, we were kind of lost behind the diagnosis. We were so dependent. I feel like we became dependent on the service providers and the educators, that we were depending on their input and what we should do, but never realizing our child in the middle of this, right? I sort of can't wait. I feel like I'm listening to so many people, but I know my little person here who doesn't have a voice yet has a voice, and his voice is through whether it's crying and, you know, and not sleeping. He has his voice somewhere, somehow. And we're going to get that out. See, that's how it kind of, like, started. And, you know, once I started sharing it more publicly, a lot of people became, you know, they wanted to learn more. And they're like, oh, man, we love what you do. Thank you for sharing us. And so I'm always sharing posts, and I'm always posting information about health insurance stuff and what, you know, what taxes you can, you know, things that you can claim on your taxes when you have children with special needs in terms of, like, gluten-free diets and stuff like that. A lot of parents don't know that they can claim that on their taxes, especially if they have a doctor's order, you know. Diapers, you know, if you have health insurance coverage, you know, they'll ship diapers directly to your house, and you can pay the co-pays and, you know, go through your health insurance company. You know, if you have a child who's not verbal, there's a speech device that you can get for free depending on what type of insurance you have. So a lot of parents, we didn't know any of this information. So once I started sharing it, it's like our parents came together and we built this community of making sure that we were public in sharing about our awareness of our children with special needs instead of sharing our stories and what it felt like to be a parent of a child with special needs.
Wow, that's interesting.
It kind of just grew from there, and we went from, you know, just sharing stuff to a nonprofit. We have an amazing Facebook group, a lot of positivity. I try to keep everything very positive. I always tell my family to encourage, you know, yes, we know that a lot of us barely sleep. Yes, we know we barely have time to hang out with friends and family. Yes, we barely have time for anything because our kids are sucking a lot of our time and energy. But it's okay.
It's okay.
Your child is happy, though, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. That's all that matters.
And guess what? I believe we have a caller, so we're going to engage our caller. Hello, you are on the air with Allie and Yahida, and what is your question or your comment? If your number ends in 1689, you're on the air. Hello? Oh, well, I guess they got a little shy. Maybe they'll call back. Maybe they got a little excited to press one. But anyway, you know, that's fascinating what you were talking about, because it's so similar to, you know, I don't have children with special needs, but when you would, it made me think immediately about how people who are on jobs, who they allow to mm-hmm. define who they are. And just like what you were mm-hmm. saying about hiding behind the label of mm-hmm. Being a special needs child, it's the same thing, and only in a different set of circumstances. You're hiding mm-hmm. behind the job, and then here you go in your situation, in your set of circumstances, hiding behind the label that society has put on you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. to me, I think that that's so interesting, in, you know, how they parallel each other. But it's up to us as individuals not to allow that label or that job to define who we are.
And what can happen to your child.
Exactly.
You know, don't let a label that says that child might be able to do it. It's just your approach and how you teach your child to do that. You know what I mean? And
right.
That's an issue that, you know, there's a label for everything. There's a diagnosis for pretty much everything in the world. But mm-hmm. it's not what you really are. It's a term that they use medically, but there's so many ways that you can do to change that, and how, whether mm-hmm. it's healthy eating, you know, taking dye out of your foods for, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of families who have children with autism and ADHD, they don't use dyes in their foods. They do gluten-free mm-hmm. diets, or they do, every family does things differently.
Right.
It's okay. Whatever works for you and your family, and that's what it works, make it happen. But just make sure that in the process of all this, one, you're taking care of yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually. And two, make sure that your child it's not defined by this label. Because
exactly.
at the end of the day, you birthed this child, and you gave a child that you and your husband or your partner came up with this name. That's who your
mm-hmm.
child is their
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a diagnosis. They're not a statistic, you know. And I think that, for me, it was so much easier for me to help my son, me understanding who he is or who he was besides this diagnosis. And the same thing with my son with ADHD. You know, we played with so many diagnoses, but once I learned who he was, it was so much easier. Like, you know, and now a lot of the things that we do with the schools is, you know, we have a hard time with, you know, with the parenting. And I'm like, okay, well, they're only seven, you know. And
right, right.
Kids, you know, I'm a grown adult, and sometimes my attention span is really short.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, he's only seven. They're only seven. And
right.
They're hands-on learners.
Exactly.
And so a lot of the teachers, you know, they kind of vent a little bit how difficult it is for them because my kids are hands-on learners. And I was like, well, that's how I taught them, and that's
mm-hmm.
how they learn. My kids are not flashcards type of kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I know that they're going to struggle with that. So now, you know, I taught them how to get messy, play with slime and play with shaving cream and color and all this great stuff. So now I have to find a way that, how can I help them be productive in school and
right.
be kind of focused. And so now mommy's on journey number two of how do I get my kids ready to take these standardized exams that are going to come up, and how can I get them ready for that? Because I know that's going to be a challenge for them.
Yeah.
Because how they learn is how mommy taught them how to learn,
mm.
which is hands-on, putting
right.
stuff together.
Right.
You know, and so I'm on journey number two. Let's see how this goes, and a lot of research that I got to do, but I'm going to make it happen.
Absolutely.
You know?
I know you are. Tell us, you know, I'm curious to know, what have been some of the successes that you have had with both of your sons when you made this decision to stay at home and work with him? Because I know you initially said that he wasn't speaking and, you know, that kind of thing. So what has he accomplished since mommy has taken over?
Woo! One, he talks like
awesome.
They know tomorrow.
Oh, praise mm-hmm. God.
We finally got him diapers, man, because diapers are expensive, okay?
Yes.
I think that was my most happy. We're done with diapers. Diapers, the situation,
yay.
We good. We are set here.
Yay.
I think him finding his voice mm. and having my undivided attention helped him.
Yeah.
And who he is now was not even who he was just last year or the year before. Hmm. Each year he has made these amazing, so much growth that it's like, wow, this is a child who was diagnosed with autism at around two, who didn't start walking a little bit after his first birthday, who cried half of the time, and I was told that he was potentially not going to talk, and I was told all the things that he's not today.
Wow.
And, you know, he's way more observant. He's socially, he's still, you know, he's still lacks some socially, you know, some social skills and stuff like that. But I'm okay with that because that's who he is. You know what I mean? That's who he is. And I don't want to take all the little things that make him away from him. Because those are the things that I love about him.
Yeah, right. Wow. That is so phenomenal. Wow. Yeah. And, you know, that just makes me think about another great champion of the cause of autism is Holly Robinson Pete. And I know you're familiar with who she is.
I love her
story and what she has done. But just think, she's just like you. Had she accepted what doctors told her about her son, because they told her that her son would never speak. And this kid is phenomenal what he's doing now and how he expresses himself, and he's doing a little bit of modeling, you know, if you ever watch their story. So share a little bit about what you think about what she's doing and how she's brought awareness to the autism.
I think she is phenomenal. I love her.
Yes.
I love her book. My brother Charlie, I don't know if you guys have read it. He dropped that book. I got it, and I have that book. My kids love that book. You know, I have nieces and nephews that are younger, and I read that book around autism, around April, which is Autism Awareness Month. And, you know, I love her. I think she's very powerful.
Yes, she is.
She kept it so real about her story that she's one of my inspirations. And I love to follow what she does in the autism community because I think that for me being a Latina women, you know, dealing with certain subjects like this is, we don't really talk about that.
Exactly, you know? Exactly, yeah.
And so when I told my parents about, you know, autism, they're like, no, Jada, there's nothing wrong with him. You know, you need to pray, you know, the whole, you know, we don't talk about mental health and we don't talk about that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was difficult because I was being so honest and public about going through what I was going through. But my parents at one point didn't want to believe it. But, you know, obviously when they'll babysit, they're like, OMG, they'll be calling me like, Jada, you know? You know, they understood it and respected it. And finally, after years of me venting and crying and things like that, they accepted. And, you know, without them, honestly, I wouldn't be here, you know, getting my 2 feet because my mom and their prayers and their consistency and supporting me through my, you know, mental status sometimes of crying and feeling like I'm isolated from the world because I don't have any breaks and don't have any time. You know, but what she does just confirms that autism is raw, it's real. And how you approach it, it means everything.
Exactly. Exactly. She has used her platform as a celebrity to really champion for the cause, and you know that's exactly what she should have done. And so she did the right thing because she's bringing awareness on a higher level so that people like, you know, yourself and people who are not celebrities in the same, you know, way. See that it's okay to talk about it. Because like you said, you're absolutely right. Even in the African-American community, there are things, certain subjects that are taboo that just get swept under the rug, and then guess what? Nothing gets done, nothing gets healed because everything is just covered up. And, you know, we have to stop doing that. And, you know, it's all about the journey because, your story is letting somebody else know it's okay, we're in this together, you're not the only one. Because somebody out there who may be listening you know, and struggling with the fact that, oh, do I talk about this? But you're being so open and honest about it and transparent is helping someone else to come out of that shell and therefore heal or help their child or whatever their family member, whatever the case may be. So, you know, we overcome by the sharing of our testimony. So, you know, that's what I decided to do, you know, not be ashamed that I got laid off, but let me tell you what I did and how I got through it, you know. So we're here. We are our brother and sister's keeper, you know. So, you know, I applaud you as well as Holly Robinson Pete for, you know, taking up the gauntlet and being a community advocate, you know, and, you know, having a voice for the voiceless, let's just say that, you know. Someone has to speak up for people who may not have a voice. So kudos to you for that. I wanted to our time is running out quickly, but I also know that you are also the founder of another group called Eight Shades of Chic. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that one was actually, that was not good for me. So me and one of my girlfriends, you know, we're moms and we really don't have time. And we're like, oh, we need friends. We need women who want to uplift one another, empower one another, and be real about it.
And
so we came together, and we are in the process of kind of, like, unleashing it. And what we eventually want to see happen with HA's is that we want to bring women together, moms, entrepreneurs, you know, women of all walks of life, of all colors, to come together because, you know, us women, we're powerful.
That's
when
right.
We come together, beware.
That's right.
Because it's going to go down, right?
Right.
You know, we want to bring women together
exactly.
and build honest, meaningful relationships through empowering one another. So,
right.
you know, eventually we want to, like, start doing meetups and, you know, taking trips with each other and kind of be leaving mom at home, you know, and just you. Let's focus on the woman and what you bring to the table and how can you help your sister, no matter
right.
what color she is, what shade she is, how can you help your sister be better and do
exactly.
better? How can we basically, you know, support one another? And I'm excited about that because we're putting all that together. And in January, we're going to start doing meetups. And hopefully,
oh,
you know, we'll take a trip with a bunch of women and we just want to go somewhere and have fun and just be women and just
That's
embrace
fun.
Our beautifulness, you know, no matter
awesome.
What shade you are.
Absolutely.
You know,
awesome.
And that's what that's going to be all about.
Awesome. Tell us, how can we learn more about Autism Sprinter Incorporated? Give us the website and contact and social media.
So Autism Sprinter, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat under Autism Sprinter. Our website is www.autismsprinter.com. And, you know, visit. We have a lot of information, especially if you visit our social medias. We're always sharing flyers about events, not just my nonprofit, but I make sure that, you know, we share all autism, you know, events that are happening that might meet
Great.
The need of every family individually. Not just mine, you know, I share everything, you know, and share information about different changes in health insurance and all that great stuff. You know, so definitely follow us because you're going to get a lot of information and you're going to learn a lot in how to basically take the power back from autism and how
awesome.
Do you change your family dynamics.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And this time went by so fast, but I wanted to take
the
opportunity to say thank you for joining us and for sharing your powerful testimony and your story. And thank you for your community advocacy and for your commitment to inspiring and empowering and educating the families and loved ones, you know, whether they children just have special needs or autism. Thank you for your commitment to empowering those people. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. This is exciting.
Awesome. And I also want to take a moment to thank Shawn for her commitment to empowering women in business and for how she inspires them to pursue their purpose in business. And, you know, we're going to continue to spotlight entrepreneur her business owners, and I want to thank her for that opportunity. And so now, as I'm accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. As we heard from Yehida this evening, you know, as a mother, it is oftentimes difficult for us to find time for ourselves. And so I myself early on learned in my journey that the importance of trying to find balance in it all. And when I realized this, God revealed to me that it was important. This was a very important truth. He showed me that in order for me to be able to take care of my family, I had to take care of myself first. And so this leads me to share scripture with you from 1 Peter 5:8, which reads, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." So, you know, maintaining balance in all things is so important, because if we don't, we open a door to the enemy who roams around hungrily, seeking to devour us. And so, in other words, if we do not maintain balance in our lives, Satan will take advantage of the door that we have opened, which, of course, will lead to an end result that is not good for anyone. So how do we accomplish this? For me, I've had to learn to pay attention to the key triggers. And what I've discovered about myself is that when I'm hungry, tired, feeling overwhelmed or frustrated, that generally means that I'm out of balance. So by knowing that and knowing what to look for, it allows me to be able to take a step back and fix what's wrong. And most Christian women never take time to think about being in balance. And so in fact, they don't even take time to think about how all that is affecting the people they care about most of all, and that's our family. So my challenge for you is to take a moment to survey the areas of your life and ask yourself, am I giving time and attention to things that really don't matter, or am I doing things for people who can really do it for themselves? So based on how you answer these questions will determine if you need to reprioritize key areas of your life, okay? So next week, my special guest will be LaShawna Williams, certified life success coach, and she will talk to us about how to stop living from paycheck to paycheck and start living paycheck to purpose. And you won't want to miss it, but if just in case you do, there are several ways that you can catch up on what you've missed. You can access all of our past recorded shows on an automatic player box on the homepage at the AtlantaLifeRadio.com website. And we're also on iTunes and Stitcher. All you have to do is search for is Atlanta Life Radio. And so that's very convenient for you to be able to catch up on what you've missed. In addition to catching up on all of our past recorded shows, please follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact me directly, you could do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please remember to connect and follow us on social media. You could follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you could follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. I'm also on Instagram at AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you'll find me at AllieWard65. And remember to like us on Facebook by searching at There Is Life After Layoff, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found on Facebook by searching Atlanta Life Radio Station WALR. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. And so until next time, on behalf of the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. In you, Lord, I have my faith in. worse off than you. Now